Finally, we got some spring weather. So let's hope we can see a lot of corn planted. I know there's rain in the forecast, but I know that a lot of farmers are really anxious to get in the fields, and hopefully we're going to see a significant amount of corn planting here. By this time last year, most of the corn was already planted, so it is time. Lieutenant Governor Reynolds and I are committed to permanent property tax relief. Our plan addresses the looming property tax hikes for homeowners as well as commercial and industrial and agriculture. First, we lower the cap on valuation growth for residential property from the present 4% a year to 2% per year, and we apply it to all classes of property. And you know this is all tied to agriculture, and they use a 5-year rolling average to determine agriculture valuations, and the $3 corn and $6 beans are 6 years ago, and so the ceiling is 4%, but it's going to go up 4% a year for the foreseeable future. We need to prevent that, and that's why this 2% limitation. Secondly, we fully fund the homestead tax credit, which hasn't been fully funded in a number of years, and the elderly and disabled tax credit. Iowans are facing a $2 billion property tax increase over the next 8 years. Let me repeat that. No action means $2 billion increase in property taxes over the next 8 years, and half of that falls on our largest class of property, residential. This is something that has to be addressed. It hasn't been addressed the last 2 years. The Senate tax credit for commercial property does nothing about this. To demonstrate the savings that homeowners will receive in our plan, we are announcing the residential relief calculator. And now I'm going to turn over to the Lieutenant Governor to tell you more about it.
Thank you, Governor Branstad, and good morning. And as Governor Branstad noted and re-noted, we homeowners will bear the brunt of a $2 billion property tax increase if nothing is done. Increasing taxes on homeowners means taking money out of the economy at a time when our economy is starting to grow again. The residential relief calculator gives Iowans the opportunity to see for themselves the savings under our property tax plan. For example, if you look to the screen, a home assessed at $150,000 would save $52.57 next year, $810 over 5 years, and nearly $3,000 over 10 years. And that is $3,000 that a family can take back from the government and put back in their pockets. Under the plan that's proposed by the Senate, the same homeowner would see absolutely no savings. Over the past 2 years, we have come together with the House and with the Senate to put Iowa in a position of opportunity. We have the opportunity to provide permanent property tax relief and to help Iowans put people back to work and to make Iowa more competitive. I encourage Iowans to check out our residential relief calculator on the web at governor.iowa.gov/calculator. And with that, we'd be happy to answer questions.
And this bill will be going to conference committee. The House and the Senate have, of course, passed in different forms, and so it should go to conference committee this week. Yes. Well, first of all, I think we need to deal with this property tax issue. I believe that we need to make sure that we're addressing an issue that's going to create jobs and one that's going to protect homeowners. I'm willing to consider other things as well, but I think it's critically important that the focus be on permanently reducing property taxes for not just commercial and industrial, but also for homeowners and farmers as well.
When you say you're willing to consider other things, does that include the earned income tax credit expansion?
That includes the gas tax, which cities and counties want. That includes the earned income tax credit and all these other things. But as I said, I've made it very clear from the beginning, our goal is to reduce taxes, make Iowa more competitive, to create jobs, and to do it for all classes of property. Well, the legislature is sometimes slow to act, but now is the time. And we need to, first of all, let me talk about another issue that's critically important and has been delayed way too long, and that is the reform of the education system. So education reform has been in conference now for a long time. The bill actually passed the House on February 20th. The House offered a bold compromise, and then finally, after many 11 days or something like that, the Democrats came back, and then within an hour or so, Republicans have responded to that. They need to take action on that. That needs to happen now. Schools have been waiting way too long, and it's not just about money. If you look at, and the Register had quite an article about this over the weekend, Iowa has been dead last in terms of growth and student achievement over the last decade or so. We've got to change that, and that's why we need to have the reforms and the accountability and this new opportunity for teacher leadership.
Governor, there was another thing in the paper you may have seen. There was a letter to the editor signed by 40 former employees of the Iowa Veterans Home saying that there's a terrible situation with leadership. There are many people are unhappy. What's going on there, and are you doing anything to address the situation?
Commandant Worley was chosen by the previous administration, but I've kept him on. He is a very dedicated veteran. We have heard some concerns, and I know my chief of staff has been up there and met with them. We're going to continue to work. I will say we're very proud of the Iowa Veterans Home. They provide excellent services in the various reviews, whether it's inspections and appeals at the state level or whether it's the federal people that have reviewed it, have said the services provided to veterans at the Veterans Home are truly outstanding. We're in the process of adding to and improving the Veterans Home, and that's an ongoing commitment to the veterans of Iowa. I'm a veteran. I feel very strongly, want to make sure the veterans are treated well, and we will carefully review the situation at the Veterans Home. But I've been there, and so has the Lieutenant Governor.
Yeah.
Also, I would say Commandant Worley is on a first-name basis right. with just about every one of the residents, yeah. and they work very hard to try to provide the best services to Iowa's veterans. Mm-hmm. Other questions?
Why do you think there continues to be this?
I'm not sure, but I know that from time to time there have always been various, you know, personnel issues and things like that, so I'm not exactly sure, but we'll certainly carefully look into the situation. We want to make sure that the veterans that are residents of the Veterans Home are getting the best service. They have given a lot in service of our country, and we want to assure them and their families that they're treated well.
Why did Mr. Berger and Mr. White go there?
Well, they went there to review some of the concerns that have been expressed.
And what did they
find? I think that's presently under review. Well, no, I David, I don't know if there's something you would like to add, or Jeff.
We both went up there. When did you go up there?
Well, the reality is David and I meet with all the various
right.
departments.
Okay, sure.
David and I meet with all the various department heads and agency heads as part of what we do on behalf of the governor to make sure that all the agencies are running. Whenever there are concerns, we will go directly meet with folks and discuss those concerns. The number one thing that we were looking to address in meeting with the commandant and his staff was what was the level of care. As the governor said, that's our primary concern, is what kind of care are our veterans receiving? And there was absolutely no question in our minds or in any of the staff's mind that the veterans are receiving a high-level quality of care. Sometimes you have situations where personalities don't mesh as well, and you have some personnel issues that can result from that. But that's what David and I do, is try to help resolve those on behalf of the governor and the administration. I feel very confident that we'll be able to do that in the Veterans Home and have a leadership structure that works very well.
Well, he's staying. Yeah, we reviewed him at the time that I took office. He was chosen by previous administration, but after carefully reviewing his background and experience and the job that he was doing, I asked him to stay on as the commandant. As I said, the lieutenant governor and I have been there for various functions as well. I was impressed with the fact that he is in close communication with the residents there, and that the quality of care that they're receiving by pretty much all measures has been very good. But when there are issues, we want to make sure those are fairly and adequately addressed. That is a bunch of baloney, and you know it's not true. She has always flown by either coach class, if it's within the United States, or business class overseas. I just traveled with her to China, and on the way back from China, she went to Japan. And then we got back, and then we went to the bio conference. And I'm telling you, this woman works not 40 hours a week, 70, 80 hours a week. She's a tireless advocate for Iowa. And she's had a tremendous success rate in attracting business and jobs from all over, companies from Japan and
South Korea
and Egypt and everywhere else, as well as a lot of American companies and existing Iowa companies. A lot of her travel is within the state. And I just think it's absolutely wrong and unfair. And if you look at the facts, it is clear. This woman works day and night for the taxpayers of Iowa, and what she has done is phenomenal. And talk to the professional developers from throughout the state. They're so appreciative that she's there in their communities and working to help existing Iowa businesses grow and attract new businesses here. For instance, we just had the Facebook announcement. She worked for 18 months on that and had weekly, if sometimes maybe multi-calls weekly, with the people that were working on that project. And that is something that I value and appreciate. And what she does for the state of Iowa is phenomenal. And the cost of that is very small compared to the benefits.
You say it's wrong and unfair. What's wrong and unfair?
To make those kind of unfair accusations, she has never gotten first class tickets. That is a false accusation. Because she must have been upgraded to first class, and maybe you've never had that happen, but once in a while that happens. But I can tell you, I can tell you how I fly, which is coach. But when we go overseas on a long distance trip, it's sometimes business class, because we get there and we have a meeting right away. And so after you've flown 13 hours, and then you go right into a meeting, and that's the reason why we, and that's been the case as long as I know. It's been the case for 20 years. She's not treated different than anybody else. She just works harder than anybody else, goes more places, works longer hours, does a better job, has a great results effort. And these kind of political accusations are inappropriate and unfair, and especially making false accusations about purchasing first class tickets, which have never been done. Listen, I don't know how the travel agencies do these things, but I just know what the policies are, and I know Debbie Durham. I know that there's nobody that is more honest, more focused, more dedicated, more effective, and I just find these accusations to be unfair and inappropriate. Exactly. It's time for the legislature to act, and to act now. The conference committee needs to approve the education bill and send it to me for signature. It's long overdue. I think we have a very reasonable proposal that the House Republicans have made in response to the counterproposal from the Democrats. That needs to be approved. We need to recognize not just spending more money, but we need to do things that have accountability and that will improve student achievement.
Governor, how about health care? Are we looking at a special session on health care? Is that a...
No, I think the Ways and Means Committee is going to approve our bill in the House this week. I think it will be debated and approved this week. So there's no reason why that can't be accomplished.
Sticking points is what you just referred to as accountability, more specifically using student task force to
One factor.
Right. Is that something that you're willing to throw overboard?
No. We need to have accountability, and if you look at what's happened in other states that have passed accountability measures, they have moved ahead of us. You even have states like Florida and Alabama that used to be really low that are now caught up with Iowa. And that's because they have accountability and we don't. And I think it's essential. I think House members feel very strongly that accountability has to be part of this. So if we're going to get additional money, it also has to include accountability. And it's time to act on that. We've been working on this for 3 years. We started with the Education Summit, and we had the teacher and we had the Administrator and Teacher Leadership Symposium. We had a task force that worked on this, and this has been endorsed by and supported by virtually all the business groups, by the school administrators and by the school boards. It is needed. It needs to happen this week. The legislature needs to approve this conference committee report and send it to me, and I'm looking forward to signing it into law. It's long overdue.
Are you going to intervene yourself in trying to work?
We have been actively involved in this from the very beginning. As I said, we started 3 years ago with the Education Summit. We've worked to build a consensus. We've worked to get the involvement of the business community as well as education leaders. We've had this task force. My staff is working directly with Linda Fandel, works on this every day. She works with Jason Glass and his staff, and Adam has been actively involved as well. They've done a great job of keeping me informed. We feel comfortable that the compromise proposal that the House conferees have made makes sense, and it needs to be approved this week.
Have you directly talked with Kornbach and Groundstall about this?
We've made it clear to them. I guess the conversation has been with my staff, and I'm certainly willing to talk to them directly. I've made it really clear, I've said so on a number of occasions all over the state. Over the weekend at the Governor's Scholarship Awards, we talked about that. The President of the Senate was in the audience at that event. There were like over 4,000 people there, we recognized 400 students. And I also talked about this up at Cresco when we were at their Economic Development and Tourism Banquet. It's no secret. What we've said has been very clear and very consistent from the get-go.
What is the sticking point at this point? It's been silence.
Accountability. It's all about accountability. We want to make sure that we have accountability, and that has been the clear point that the House Republicans and the conferees have insisted on.
And that's what the Senate Democrats are voting
on. You know, for over two decades, we've thrown money into a system, and we've seen the numbers. We've fallen to the middle of the pack. It's time that we put accountability and achievement first, and then we're willing to put the money behind restoring education to the level that it needs to be. But even in the article that was in the Des Moines Register this Sunday, I think it was, over $458 million has gone into smaller class size and reading initiatives, and we're dead last in achievement over the last 20 years. One in four kids aren't reading at the level that they should be.
Well, you know, you heard what I had to say about it. I'd love to run. I just don't want to serve. I mean, I love this job, and I love Iowa, and I'm a competitive guy, and I'd love to be involved in the Senate race. But I know once you win a Senate race, then you got to serve for 6 years. And I'm the kind of conscientious person, if I did it, then I would do it. But I'm not going to do it. I'm confident we're going to find a really good candidate. And I really believe that Iowans want somebody that will serve in the Senate, that will be an Iowa problem solver, not another congressman. Congress is a mess. We've seen them spend $1 trillion more than they've taken in every year. So the Democrats have decided, well, we're going to send up another congressman. That's the last thing we need, is another congressman in the United States Senate.
So you don't want congressmen?
Well, I'm just saying, I think the contrast of having an Iowa problem solver versus somebody that's had all of their service in Washington, D.C. in the Congress would be a very good thing for Republicans. Well, I mean, remember, Steve King did serve at the state Senate level and was very effective here. And it's a little different thing than Braley, that's all his service has been in Washington, D.C. during the time that they passed all these massive deficits. He voted against free trade agreements, and I think his record is one that will be a pretty easy target. Well, I think they just want my advice, and I guess I'm honored that they would come and visit with me and ask for my advice, and I certainly gave them my ideas and my thoughts, and I've indeed indicated that I think we need an Iowa problem solver against a congressman, because the last thing we need is another congressman in the United States Senate. The Congress is so messed up, they are so unable to make tough decisions. They are so far out of touch with the public in terms of their spending policies that we just need somebody that's going to come there with fresh ideas, and we've got some of those in Iowa.
Final question to Rod. Do you have a follow-up, Richard?
Yeah, it seems like you're conceding that Steve King will not run. Is that something that...
Well, I'm not going to speak for anybody. I'm just saying that I think the contrast of a congressman versus an Iowa problem solver is something, and that's what I told them. So I was very open with them and say, I think having an Iowa problem solver would be a much better than having another congressman running for the United States Senate, because I look at the Congress and I look at these massive deficits and I look at how ineffective they are at getting anything accomplished, and I contrast that to what we've done here in Iowa. Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
I'm really happy about that.
Property taxes are calculated on valuation and rate, and neither one of them have been set for next year yet. I'm not sure how you come up with a number of what I'm going to see.
Okay.
As a reduction.
I think we're assuming the rates remain the same.
Yeah.
We're assuming the rates remain the same. We have no control over that. That's determined locally. But here's the thing, and it's so easy for people at the local level to say, well, the state law forced us to increase the amount that's subject to tax here, and we're not going to raise your rates.
Right.
No, we don't raise your rates. So it's all the state's problem. They forced this on us, and that's why we want to say, all things being equal, if the rates stay the same, this is how much your property taxes go up. So, well
they
that's
sometimes. You know, yeah. So that's exactly... Valuations don't stay the same, but they can keep the rate the same, and then they can experience the growth in the valuation, and that's how they get additional revenue into the county to operate on. So even though the rate can stay the same, and they can say we didn't raise the rate, the millage stayed the same, but because of the increased valuation, by the way, the property taxes are figured, then they get to capture that growth.
And it's a really easy thing to do at the local level. Those guys in Des Moines, they did it to you. It's the state law that drove up the valuations. We didn't raise your rate. We didn't raise your rate. So the point is, it's complicated, and we don't want people to hide behind this state law. We need to change the law. We need to make sure that we reduce this automatic increase that's going to happen year after year after year. That's the dirty secret that's not being told. We need to make sure the public is aware of it, need to know their property taxes that they pay on their homes are going to go up dramatically without action. It's time for action. We want to make sure that the homeowner is not the forgotten person in this state anymore.
I just want to make sure when I refer people to this that they know what they're seeing there. And this says it's based on an average statewide rate.
Yes.
Right. But there's no such thing. I mean,
Okay. If you want to go, you can then go and check it out. And if you want to go into more detail and get into your own county so we're using an average, but, some might be a little more or a little less, but this is an average.
Great. Thanks, everybody.